It is accepted among the educated of the profession that there is no such thing as deviant behavior. Now, I don't take for granted that everybody knows what deviant means, which I believe most of you do. Deviant means to deviate. Deviate means to go off from the norm, off from the natural or normal way. And they're saying there's no such thing as deviant behavior. So nothing you can imagine, no matter how far away from the norm, no matter how far away from the natural, cannot be called by their classification, by their strict language in their disciplines of science, cannot be called deviant behavior. What are they saying? They are saying nothing new. They are just extending the same old idea that man is conceived in iniquity, born in sin. That's all they're saying. They're saying the same thing. They don't have anything new. And they're using their own language and thinking they got something new. But everybody can trace the same BS to the Bible. Excuse the language. I didn't say to the BS Bible, I said to the Bible. I have respect for the Bible. Even though it's a dangerous book. Very dangerous book. And I don't have to take long to prove that to you. You perhaps saw in the news where some preachers testing the words of the Bible went and stuck their hands down in viper's pit and got bitten and died by a snake. You perhaps read, it was in the news, where some preacher, influenced by the crucifixion, nailed himself up on a cross, had himself nailed up on a cross. Self-abuse. And I said this 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and I say it today, there wouldn't be as much problem with alcohol if the Bible didn't say, take a little bit for your stomach's sake. You don't tell the ignorant masses to take a little bit of alcohol for their stomach's sake. They're gonna be the judge of how much that stomach's sake is. Say, well, hell, man, you talk about your own stomach. I know my stomach best. And then God's way is not to tempt man. God's way is not to tempt man to do sin. How does our holy book deal with problems of that kind? It says, do not approach it. Not don't sample, take from a little. No, do not approach it. Because approaching it is the indication that you're weak for it. You see me going to a fine sister's house, and I don't live there. By myself, in nighttime, in the wee hours, you call me a liar if I say something different. Because I'll be deserving it. Because I shouldn't have gone there if my intentions were good. I shouldn't have even gone there. So Allah says in His holy book to us that this religion is the religion of the original order. This is the religion of the original order. What is the original order? The nature created by God. He says that upon which He fashioned man. that upon which he fashioned man, and man here means all people. And Nas, not Rajul. Rajul means man, one man. And Nas means man as all people. Yes, it is the nature upon which he fashioned man. So our book, Holy Book, tells us clearly that God approves the inherent nature of man. Huh? God approves the inherent nature of man, and not only does he approve it, he directs man to accept and respect that nature and do his best not to violate that nature, but to live in accordance with his natural urges. And the natural urges in the inherent nature of man is toward excellence. His natural urges are toward excellence. In fact, this is no thing exclusive for man. The natural urges in the universe are urges toward excellence. And science bears witness to that when they come up with the concept or the idea of evolution. Evolution means a process that's continuous, from inferior to superior, from rough to smooth, huh? From uncultured to cultured, huh? From raw to finish, from incomplete to completion. That's what the idea suggests. From emptiness to fullness, huh? From want to satisfaction, from of no value to esteem, huh? This is the movement of evolution, and it testifies. It testifies to the truth of the Holy Book, huh? Oh, yes. And God then cautions us, after bringing this before us, that he has given you great resources, a nature and a will in it toward excellence. So when a man tells a lie, that's not the aim of his nature. That's a possibility of his nature. You don't describe me by a possibility in me. You describe me by the tendency in me. And God said Adam did not have a tendency to do wrong. He slipped into it. So God forgave him and said in time he will again meet with my word. And Adam did. Adam in time met with the word of God, and his generation was back on the track again. That's humanity, and that's beautiful. Man likes to be thrown into difficulty. You take a man and put him in heaven. If heaven means nothing to do, he's going to ask you to let him out soon. Yeah, if he's any kind of man, if he's any kind of man, he's going to ask you to, hey, let me out, baby, please. Say, oh, but isn't it nice here? The hell no, it's boring the hell out of me.
That's right.
Man wants challenge if he's a man. He wants to be, and I'm speaking for women too. We just say man. See, and when we're addressing a plural audience, a plural number, in Arabic, when you use a masculine, you're addressing man and woman. This is Arabic grammar. And I think it goes for English too, to a point. Now, God cautions us after presenting us with the nature he created for us and giving it to us so that we can respect it, cherish it, and respect it. He cautions us. He says, let there be no alterations on the nature created by God. He's given man an intellect, great imagination, creative mind, free will. So he has created man with the power, with the capacity, the ability to make changes on what God have already ordered. Bird can't make no change. No prophet will come to a bird and say, how come you deviated from the way you were instructed to build the nest? He builds it the same way. Now he can't, he make no change. Say, how come you're singing this new song and corrupting the music? No, he still sings the same way. He sang a billion years ago. He's still singing the same way. But we, with our intellect, our free will and imagination, oh, we can make all kinds of changes, all kinds of alterations on the pattern that God has established. So God cautions us after telling us, I have created this nature. I chose this nature. And it is excellent. It is the way for you to travel in your route to your destiny. You don't take a way outside of the human nature. You travel the way of human nature in your route to your destiny. Now, doesn't that make sense too? If I have a destiny, why should I pick up the plan for something other than me? If I have a destiny, I should pick up the plan for the human being, not for the angel or for the deity. Huh? I'm not the deity. I'm not the angel. So I don't want that plan. If I'm going to get to my destiny, I should have a human map, not an angel map. I should have a human map to get to my destiny. An angel was already in his destiny when he was first made. Thus I come as no problem among the angels. Man had to grow into his destiny with free will, freedom of choices, to deviate or go straight. So God said, let there be no alterations on the nature created by God. No changes in the nature created by God. And God again says, knowing that man must be led also by example. The baby that's born into the family today cannot be talked to like we are talked to. The baby has to be influenced by our examples. And even though we grow up and we're not babies anymore, to an extent, we still must be influenced by examples. In fact, in the language of this education today, they talk of model learning, model teaching, model instruction, where a model is the thing, the source from which the instructions are coming. The teaching or the direction or education, whatever we might call it, is coming from the model itself, not from a communication, not from the model's communication by way of language or something, but from the model's own behavior is communicating instructions to the subject. And we know consciously and unconsciously, as impressionable creatures, we are accepting the influence from the behavior of other subjects. And whether aware of it or not, our own behavior is shaping to the influences that are coming from other models. So they place great importance in child rearing on the children having good, healthy role models in the house. Mother, father, the adults in the house, they should all be aware of the risk that they might pose in them themselves being poor models of bad influences in the home environment. So we know what all is said about that. Now, my point is this. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, he's the last messenger of God. So whatever was incomplete before is complete now. And man must not only watch over language. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word took on flesh. Man must not only watch over language, but man must watch over the customs of people, the customs of society, the behavior of the individual in the public and at home. Because this is what is communicating behavior to the ignorant, to the weak, to the young in mind and development. So Allah has given us simple answers for our success. You have in the messenger of God an excellent model of conduct for any who fears God and the last day. You have in the messenger of God an excellent model of conduct. So what is the prophet to us? What is the prophet's sunnah to us? The prophet's sunnah is his conduct. God didn't say you have an excellent sunnah. He said you have an excellent conduct, an excellent model of conduct. But that is the same as sunnah. Because what he did, what he said, how he handled questions, how he handled problems, how he dealt with situations, were all the expression of his model conduct. And Allah again says to the Muslim, you have in Muhammad, in the messenger of God, an excellent model of conduct for any who fears God in the last days. He's not a model of conduct for the godless people, those who have no respect for God. How can he be a model for them? Those who don't believe that they're going to have to count for their actions one day in the after world or in the latter world for their behavior now, if they don't believe that, why try to sell them on Muhammad the model? They don't care about that. But if you say you believe in Allah, you believe in the Lord God, and the last day that you'll have to answer before him, then you have in Muhammad the most excellent model of conduct. So you should be following his conduct. You should be influenced by his conduct. Simple formula for success in the life of the Muslim. You should be following his conduct. And you should learn about him if you don't know about him. Just as you're obligated to learn about your illness by going and consult a credible source, a doctor or a book that can give you the answers, you are obligated as a Muslim to go to the behavior of Muhammad and learn it just as you will learn the prescription for your illness from a doctor. Are the behavior that you should follow to avoid problems from a science book, a medical book, a social science book, or whatever. Just like we go to those books for that help, we as Muslims are obligated to go to the life of Muhammad the Prophet for his model, for his conduct, for his way of handling things, heavy and light. So that we will be successful in this life. Because God has made us impressionable creatures. And if we don't follow the model that he has given us, we're going to have contrary spirits from the many models that we'll be following knowingly and unknowingly. have people saying I will walk in no man's shadow. And the same fool is walking in a thousand men's shadows. He'll be condemning one that he's thinking about and following a thousand that he can't even observe. In fact, every behavior you get came from somewhere. You didn't come here with it. The way you laugh came from somewhere. The way you cry came from somewhere. The way you frown came from somewhere. The way you speak, harsh or easy, came from somewhere. All of that came from somewhere. But it came from so many places, and you were the attraction for it. So when it piles up on you, it becomes uniquely you. It's uniquely you. But where did that unique you come from? Influences all out there. So if you don't watch over the shaping of your own life, then you're lost. You're lost. You'll be cast into hell and in the fire and in the ice pit. From one extreme to another. Into the fire and into the ice house. One extreme to another. Yeah, you'll be thrown from one extreme to another because you don't have any direction for yourself. You don't have anything you're focusing upon. The people that are successful on this earth are people with a perception, with a focus, with an intent in life, with a destiny, with a purpose, with an idea of what their life is, what their life should be, where their life should be going. Yes, the Jewish people, with all of their faults, they are successful in the world. With all of their ups and downs, with all of their suffering, they are successful in the world. They will talk about the Holocaust, but they won't talk about the Gold Coast.
That's right.
They had the Holocaust, they got the Gold Coast.
That's right.
Yes. But they don't talk about the Gold Coast they got. They talk about the Holocaust. Not to criticize them, to make a point. That if you have a mind of your own, you have salvation. Now, I know somebody will say, well, a mind of your own means independent thinking. And a person can be criminal and independent in his thinking, he won't have salvation. That's right. If he's criminal, he doesn't have any independent thinking. See, you coming from the general picture. I'm coming from the specifics. I'm speaking to you as a religious man. And a mind of your own mean a mind of your own nature as God created it. And if you have a mind of your own, then you will have salvation. But if you buy the mind that's contrary to the nature God has created from the world, you're in trouble. You know, and they used to have terminology like this, you know, fixed mind. But now they say mindset. Well, he's coming from his mindset. Well, I guess that's what it is. The mind has set. A mind can be fixed in the heaven, but set means down.
That's right.
Don't take that too seriously. We know that there are many concerns and factors influencing the state and outcome of life. So in the time that we have today, we can't go over all of these important flows. We don't have to. It's not necessary. There are only a few key concerns that we need to be aware of in order to have a good, successful life. And first of all, as Prophet Muhammad said in his last address, peace be upon him, that was also printed in the tenth testimonial book. The last address or the final address of Prophet Muhammad. And he warned the Muslims to be aware of the devil's influence in religion. He mentioned the achievements, the great accomplishments that God had ordained and had been realized in his mission, that the devil had been defeated on the peninsula or in the Hijaz, in the Mecca and surrounding areas. That the devil had been defeated there. So the devil has given up hope of being an influence in this area. But he cautioned them, he said, to be cautioned, be aware of the devil's influence in religion. That is, that you have to watch. The religion has been made perfect by Allah. Prophet Muhammad was doing nothing but paraphrasing or speaking from Quranic revealed word influence, where Allah says, and someone, can you quickly get the fifth chapter, third verse? We'll read it. He'll hand it back to me. I'll read it. We'll read it. Where Allah says that the favor of God had been completed on us. The religion had been cleared, made clear, and established again in the perfect order that God intended. And what God had promised to come as revelation had been given. And we read it now from the Quran. The fifth chapter of the Quran, called the Table Spread. And it's in the third verse where it began. Where it begins. This day are those who disbelieve, despair of ever having, of ever, pardon me, harming your religion. They have given up. Despair means give up. Give up hope. Be disappointed. Be hurt and disappointed that there is no more chance. They have despaired of hope of harming your religion. So fear them not, fear me, that's God speaking. So I mentioned the Prophet cautioning us to look out for the devil's influence in religion. Now that it's cleared up, the land is free from his influence, he despaired of ever having any control here anymore in this land. But the Prophet says, be aware of his design on religion. That the devil has a design on religion. And whereas it's all right now, doesn't mean it will remain that way. Because if you fall asleep, if you turn your head, Before you know it, the devil is so skilled that he will influence your religion, and that design will be working in your religion after God has already saved you from it. It can happen again. And we know it has happened all over the world. And it goes on to read, "This day have I perfected your religion for you and completed my favor on you and have chosen for you as religion Al-Islam." And I'm reading the English of this translation. I remember 10 years ago I couldn't find Al-Islam translated like that. So I think Wahdatuddin Muhammad has done something. Yes. When I began preaching 12 years ago as a new leader and mentioned that nowhere in the Holy Quran will you find Islam like that unless it's talking about an individual's personal religion in his own personal life. But when you're talking about religion that all of us have to live and learn from the Quran and learn from the Prophet, it's always called Al-Islam. And I heard people criticize it for me, and most of the criticism came from the people I was trying to help.
That's right.
And there wasn't a single Muslim scholar among them.
That's right.
And I was so happy and felt so good. Yeah, you know, a man who takes up the problems of his people carries a heavy cross. I was made feel so good by an Islamic scholar when he told me, he says, yes, he said, you are right, you're bringing it to our attention that it is not Islam, you're right. It's not proper to say it, call it Islam, it is Al-Islam. And he told me back then, that's about 8 years ago, he said, you'll see the influence is gonna come, Brother Imam. He said, and the language is gonna change. And now I'm reading, I didn't even know, Allah is my witness, I didn't even know it was here.
Right.
If you come here right now, you'll see Al-Islam. We don't give credit to a person without the world's credentials. That's the attitude of most of us. So since I don't have a PhD or a BS, I don't have any degree. You know, so those who don't have them either, they bring me down on that level. They say, okay, man, you can charm me with this words and charm me with this drama, but don't get serious about what you're saying. If it conflicts with what those people say who have credentials, I ain't gonna accept it. Well, look, the people who give those credentials the most respect are the people who don't know much about them. The ignorant who didn't finish high school. And many times not even elementary school. You give those degrees the most credit. People in college and university, they do not give those degrees that much credit.
Right.
In fact, you can tell them you're a doctor of something. They ain't impressed. They want to know, what have you done? They want to see your achievements in that field you're talking about you're a doctor in. So if I go back to school and get a degree, which I intend to do, I'm getting it for you. You're the only one that's demanding it. Yes. God, the Lord of heavens and earth, he says, this day have I perfected your religion for you and completed my favor unto you and have chosen for you as religion Al-Islam. And the prophet said in his farewell address, and I repeat it, this day have the devil despaired of controlling you in this land. Because God had established Muhammad and the religion and the Muslims under him, and had completed the Quran to Prophet Muhammad. So it was all over for the devil. Isn't that wonderful to know?
Yes, sir.
That something can happen in our life and that we can humanly understand that will be the end of the devil's control in our land. I mean, hey, you can't get the devil out of here. You can't. No, God, you can't get the devil. Yes, you can. Prophet Muhammad says the devil was exiled out of Arabia because of heavy pressure from the Lord and his messengers and the good believers following the model of excellence. Yes, the devil was exiled. He was put out. He was banished. Now, ain't nobody going to convince me that the devil doesn't have a strong hold on black people in America. Can't nobody convince me that the devil doesn't have a strong hold. He is in control. Yes, I'm convinced of that. That doesn't mean that some of you are not spared. If you have kept your conscience and have kept the fear of God in you, you've been spared. But most of our folks are not spared. They are lost. The children are alienated from the parents. Parents alienated from the children. Living in the same house. Riding in the same automobile, and so distant from each other. As the scriptures say, there'll come a time when the mother won't be able to help her own child. And I think the Bible says it, I know the Holy Quran says it, that neither the parent nor the child will be able to help the other. Child will want to help his parent, but the way is blocked, no possible way. Tuned out. Child will want to help the parent, won't help the child. No way. Tuned out. Children tune the parent out. Parent tune the children out. The parent blessed to have a good-minded child. The parent got an alien mind, tunes out the child, tunes out the good child. Yes. Everybody have influence over your children but you. Parent listen to everybody but the people in the family. Yeah? Bad times. Today in this address, we want to consider the individual as an accountable creature. Valued to the extent that that individual accepts to be personally responsible. Personally responsible. Understand, that our religion, our holy book says, nobody is going to be punished for the crimes of another. And that scripture says the same thing. Nobody is going to be punished for the crimes of another. I don't care what excuses I may put up. Well, my family was bad. I came up in a bad environment. God is merciful. I don't care what kind of environment you came up in, how bad your household was. God blessed you with somebody in your acquaintances that represented help, guidance, good influence. God hasn't left anybody without some help. Allah makes help, brings help to everybody. But if your mind is so messed up that you disrespect everything, you won't get the help when it comes to you. And if that happens, you're to blame. We don't have to give ourselves to wrongdoing, to bad spirits, to bad attitudes, to the extent that we turn down a friend when he comes, that we hit the hand that's trying to help us. That means that we have been weak for the evil spirit, and we have allowed the evil spirit to dominate and take us over. So we're in hell whether we know it or not. Dear believers, we have to understand that many of us weeping over our children, your child has perhaps gone so far, transgressed so far, that the child has put itself in hell. And you don't have the power to pull out any dweller of hell. God hasn't given us the power to pull anyone out of hell. They must make the change themselves in order to be pulled out of hell. We believe that people can be redeemed from hell. Some religions say after hell, no chance. In our religion, hell is eternal, but also hell is also conditional. Yes, it's eternal, but also conditional. You will go to hell, but if there was something in your nature strong enough, it may be the factor for pulling you out of hell one day. That's our religion. Isn't that good news? This is the same religion that Abraham taught, same religion Moses taught, same religion Christ Jesus taught. Peace be upon the prophets. They all taught this same religion. Now, isn't that good news? I know why the Bible said good news, and I know why the Holy Quran said good news, saying give the good news to the believers. That's what the Holy Quran said, and give the good news to the believers. Because the way they present the religion to us, it puts us in a hell of a situation. My nature was made wrong. I'm born for temptation and sin and such. My first mother and father was natural, so that messed up the whole line of human beings forever. Sex is sin. It is the strongest urge in me. So what that says for me? Strongest urge for me is to reach pleasure, gratification. Not with a spoon of beans or lamb chop. No, with a woman chop. I'm just telling you,
that's like it is.
Now, don't let no brother fool you. I don't care if he's a saint. Don't let him fool you. They're talking about his greatest pleasure is eating halal.